church. How you're doing? I want to just give a hand to, you know, the production team that did so well this morning with the children's choir, the backup singers, musicians. I heard the kids came at 6:45 a.m. this morning, and some of us are still in bed at the time, and they came so early yesterday, and so much of effort and so many hours put into just to produce a beautiful weekend celebration. So again, thank you so much for serving. Those of you who have been serving tirelessly, designing the stage, it's a beautiful place. Amen. As Pastor Chris was saying, third daughter is born, and I give thanks to God, and we have the privilege of just even being parents for the third time now. I just want to say thank you to just different ones who have just been so kind, so generous with your gifts, your presence, your visits, cooking. Someone even lent us a car so it'd be a more comfortable journey for my wife, and so blessed to be a part of community of this church. So thank you again for your generosity. God is good, all right? Being a new father again, and some of you may say, hey, but you're already a third-time father. Some of us men, we take a longer time to learn how to be a better father. And I've never done so much marketing in my life, almost on a daily basis, going to Section 17 Market and meeting UMC members there, and they are saying, hey, Pastor, in shorts, which is a rare sight for some people, you know. And just having to multitask at a rapid, speed, wow, it just blows my mind, literally, because just making me more grateful for the amount of work that my wife has to go through on a daily basis. I'm just more grateful now, having to, you know, manage a family. I was sharing with a celebration yesterday that even driving around with my kids, behind my two older ones in a car, and sometimes we lose our patience as drivers, so noisy behind, you know, and so I lost it again, and I said, kids, come on, you know, daddy's driving, I need to focus, I need to think, you know, you need space to think sometimes, you know. And they were, you know, fighting, and someone, you know, lost their cool, and someone started crying. And lo and behold, I said, kids, would you stop it? Pastors can get angry, by the way. It's normal, it's human, you know. And so as I lost it, then I heard a pause. I turned behind, and I saw them calm, collected, peaceful. And then my younger one there said, daddy, just for laughs, ha ha ha. So it was a put on the whole time that they were fighting and crying just to trigger me, you know, and the things that we do together in life. I can imagine the days forward, you know, from here. But we're learning. We're learning how to be better parents, better spouses to each other, and God is good, God is faithful. I want to begin, as we start the message today, by reading scripture. This is what we always do every weekend. So can I invite us to stand to our feet as we read two passages of scripture today? Let me just make sure this is on. Okay. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 9, and John 10, verse 10. So at the count of three, would you read scripture together with me? 1, 2, 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that He has that made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Father, thank you for the privilege of being gathered here today, listening to your word, allowing your word to penetrate our hearts and to change and transform our lives. We ask that today, God, that every heart will be pliable, will be moldable, will be soft and tender before you to receive your word with gladness. In Jesus' name, we ask and we pray. Amen. Would you take your seats in the presence of God? Christmas this year has been a bit more special, I would say, for me and my family, and particularly for me as a parent again, because when we think about the Christmas story of Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, and having a baby in my arms and just cradling it, you know, the baby and putting her to sleep, has taught me quite a bit. And going through the story of Joseph and Mary, which I want to just tell to us again, because sometimes we miss the details. We miss the emotions that, you know, Mary and Joseph could have felt and gone through even as they journeyed towards Bethlehem. And these are a few things I want to say before this. Is the big idea today is this: life may not always be perfect, but life in the sun is always a full life. Someone say full life. Life may not always be perfect, but life in the sun is always a full life. That's the big idea today. And along with this, let me just explain this or relate to us. The story of Mary and Joseph traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem to pay the taxes, you know. If you look at the distance that they traveled, it's about 91 miles. That's not very near. And the story says in Luke that Mary was expecting her baby very soon. That means she was heavy with child. Someone say heavy. You know, if you're pregnant here, or you just delivered a baby, or you're almost delivering, the question is this: would you travel for 91 miles, even in a car? Some say, bring it on. I don't think so. You know, with our potholes and our road bumps, and my wife would say, hey, please drive better, lah. You know, have mercy on me, you know. And yeah, pastors struggle with that sometimes as well. But 91 miles, if I can give us a certain, you know, relatable distance in our context today, it would be something like driving from Section 13 right here to Ipoh, which is about 100 miles, all right? And guess what? They didn't have cars those days. How did they travel? On a donkey, right? And I can't imagine, because if you are heavily pregnant, and ladies would understand this, the last thing you want to do is travel so far on a certain vehicle, right? And I was saying this now, that one of our friends was so kind to lend us a car that was more comfortable so that we don't have to endure the roads, you know, and my driving. Right? So, but Mary and Joseph traveled for 90 over miles to get to a certain place while being heavily pregnant. Someone say heavily pregnant. I can only imagine the process, the journey, the emotional strain, you know, the conversations along the way. Why like that? Why so, you know? I can only imagine, all right? So this is the first thing that I want to highlight to us, but life is not always perfect, okay? And lo and behold, when they reach the inn, they probably realized that there's probably a glitch in the system of, we didn't book. Honey, why didn't you book the Airbnb? And sometimes we realize, hey, we've traveled all the way somewhere for our favorite char kway teow in Ipoh, or, you know, hor fun, and only to discover that it's what? Close. You can relate, because we've gone the distance. We have made decisions to go somewhere and expect it to be available, open. We're ready for it, but only to discover that, oops, we drove all the way, we suffered all the way, we went through the process, we came all the way only to discover that it's closed. Inn was full. Imagine the emotions, imagine the disappointment, imagine the conversations, especially if you're pregnant, there's a lot of emotions going through, right? Somebody's saying yes, thank you. I don't understand, but I'm learning to understand a bit more. Full house. Next part, life is not perfect for them. Imagine baby Jesus being born, placed in a manger, hay, not your comfortable mattress, pillow. You know, even now when I carry my baby, we have to carry her to sleep. And the moment sometimes you put her down on a baby cot, she awakes. Imagine being placed on hay. How would that be for even adults being sleeping on hay? How would you imagine that to be? and surrounded by friends observing the birth of the baby, animals, the smell, not just baby poop, but animal poop, right? It's a colorful evening. It's full of smell, free smell. Imagine life wasn't perfect when baby Jesus was born. So the big idea is this today. Life isn't always perfect, but life in the Son is always a full life. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. John 10:10 says this. And before the first part of the verse says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come so that they may have life and have it to the full. And it's always a fascinating verse to read because it just didn't stop, I have come to give you life, full stop, but I've come to give you life. So I've come so that you may have life and life to the full. Someone say it, full. A full life. And maybe thoughts are running through your minds now. What does full mean? What does having life mean? You know? But I have life. I mean, you have life. We breathe. Do we really have life? And today's message, I want to address both those of us who are seeking for truth, who are seeking for answers, and it's a great way to do that, even in the setting today. And those of you who are visiting, thank you for being here, for joining us for the first time today, from wherever you are, whether it's from a different location or whatever spiritual state you may be in, you may be seeking, we welcome you here. And this message is for you. It's also for those of us who have been living life as maybe a follower of Christ or a believer for years, and you have lived for a long time being a Christian, a churchgoer, but you're left to wonder sometimes, is that it? What is a full life? But I haven't checked off all my bucket lists. Today, this message is for you as well. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I have come. Just break it down to three parts. I have come. Oftentimes, when we think about, you know, Jesus saying, I have come, we think about him as an adult coming, right? But today, Christmas, the sacred Christmas, if I may call it, being connected to God in an intentional way, we remember the manger. We remember the discomfort. We remember the humility. We remember the controversies that surrounded the birth of Jesus. I have come. We await sometimes in anticipation the coming of the people that we admire, the things that we love, whether we have maybe ordered, you know, food, hungry, you know, wow, favorite restaurant, man, and this is my favorite dish. Why so long one? We anticipate the arrival of something that we love. We anticipate the arrival of our bride, and some of you are getting married soon. We anticipate the arrival of our child. We anticipate the arrival of a YouTube sensation, right? Or concerts or a guest speaker. We anticipate the arrival of someone that we admire from a distance, maybe a relative from overseas coming to stay. We anticipate at the airport. We do that. But how do we anticipate the arrival of the King of Kings? But coming in as a baby. I love what Pastor Mike read earlier in the lighting of the candle. Helpless. Helpless. The King of Glory, who could do anything, command anything, came helpless as a baby. And I can relate to that, just holding the baby in my arms, you know, just observing, helpless, really in need of support, of feeding. We were quick to respond. Baby Jesus, King of Kings, God, came as a helpless baby. I have come. Interesting that you know, the sentence says, I have come, and not just I came. He didn't just come long time ago. He's coming. And I have come. It's continuous. And today he shows up. Even this Christmas, he shows up. Even through the props that's put together to help us imagine how Christ or Jesus, till today, as we celebrate Christmas, shows up in our lives, in whatever situation you may be going through. You may be going through a very tough spot in your life now. He shows up to you. Even today, open your hearts to Jesus because He cares for you. I like a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German theologian and pastor, who just lived for about 39 years of age. This is what he said. Who among us will celebrate Christmas correctly? Whoever finally lays down all power, all honor, all reputation, all vanity, all arrogance, all individualism beside the manger. Whoever remains lowly and lets God alone be high. Whoever looks at the child in the manger and sees the glory of God precisely in his lowliness. How have you come today? For some of us, maybe we come, sometimes we feel like, hey, we're entitled, or we're enriched, we didn't get what we deserve. Jesus said, I have come. He came humbly, and this is quite a reminder, this quote to me, about what it means to have Jesus come, what it means to be born in a manger. That you may have life. Someone say life. Life. You know, John 1:14 we read earlier says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. We see a lot of little battery-operated candles lit up today, just symbolic of life and light for all mankind. In him, and this passage starts with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, there was life. Life just didn't appear here. In the beginning, way back from day one, life existed in a person. Are we alive today? Your answer would probably be yes, right? But many are spiritually dead. We need his life. The Word of God says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. We all need a spiritual awakening. We all need to be spiritually alive. And just imagine, I'm just trying to illustrate that a little bit better, a kitten being thrown a ball of yarn comes alive because of the ball of yarn. Or a student, a little child, seeing an ice cream truck and coming alive because, hey, I'm going to get my ice cream today. Or some kids come alive because of the school bell. They're more excited about the school finishing than the studies that they have to go through during the day. Some of you are laughing because you identify with that. Yay, the bell rings. You come alive. I have come, and him was life, so that you may have life. Even in doing marketing, some of you all come alive in the market. The voice is louder when you bargain. The smell of the vegetables. There's a new setup in Section 17 market, and I just overheard a lady, haven't been to the market so long, she came and she said, wow, got big fans up there now, you know, because now it's covered. And somehow it is cleaner, right? People come alive doing, and I can say that it's quite exciting to do marketing. But don't tell my wife. Okay. Well, it's a joy to be able to do that on a daily basis. Improve my Cantonese as well because I'm a banana man. And there's sometimes the slower learning that because, you know, language is a challenge. And but it's so good to be able to do that almost on a daily basis now. Having Jesus is having life. Spiritually alive, it is not just awaiting heaven to live out our eternal life. He has come so that you might have life, and now even when all is not fine. John 11:25 says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though he or she dies. Just attending 2 wake services funerals this past week itself reminds me of that. And some of you, maybe you have just been you just receive news of a certain ailment that you may have or a relative may have, and suddenly your life just turns around, you're wondering, what is life, and do I really have life? But Jesus says, I have come so that you may have life. What does that mean? The big idea again today is life is may not always be perfect, but life in the Son is a full life. It's always a full life. And you know, as I was shaking hands out there today, and I think Elder Ling just came, how are you? You know, again, a newborn. And I said, my answer was this: life is full. Your hands are full, or fuller, but you know that when you say your life is full, I really meant it, life is full. And along with it comes all the other parts of life, the discomforts, the inconveniences, the poo-poo life, you know. But life is full. And maybe that speaks to some of us, new parents, you know. And here's the next part. And have it to the full. And, you know, some of us have that bucket list that we want to check off. We want to visit this place, we want to own this property, we want to buy this car, we want to have 10 children. I mean, a lot of bucket lists to define what life is. And how many of us here have a bucket list? Eh? Don't have one. You're quite contented with life. You're quite satisfied with life. Or you probably have checked off everything. There's nothing more you want in life. Wow. But some of us have. Is that all to life? Oftentimes in life, I've also asked that same question. As a pastor, these are some conversations in the head that happens, you know. Is that it? I remember many years ago, 2010, where my wife and I went through a more difficult journey, in our marriage. We had a first child then, and we was trying to get used to parenting and the emotional strain. And I was, in a sense, how should I put it? We made a decision to step off from ministry, take a sabbatical, work on our marriage, work on our family. And I struggled to do that because ministry was defined me. You know, it was like, I've got to save the world. I've got to have a checklist of ministry. I've got to do that because if I don't do that, I'm not living out the full life of ministry. I remember when it just came back to my memory. We were flown to KK many, many years ago, and I remember in that room, Pastor Edmund was there. One of the advice he gave to me and my wife was this: Alex, listen to your wife. I didn't know how to respond to that. For now, I know what you mean, and I'm still learning how to do that, Pastor Edmund. Precious advice. Now, wives, don't go and use that on your husband. Pastor Edmund said, Pastor, there's things to work through, work out, but to value what the Lord has given and placed in our spouses, the instincts, the quote-unquote limits they may seem to place on our lives, because God knows where we need to be at, how we need to be formed and be shaped for His glory through these limits that He places in our lives. And I've learned, still learning how to listen. Sometimes the ego in me comes and says, hey, I know better. You are not always correct. And I've still said that before, right? And some of us may be going through a tougher time in our journey. And so for various points in my life, I've come to, hey, God, is that it? I'm serving you faithfully. You know, I thought I'm doing this for you. How come this must hit me? You know, why do we struggle? Is that it? Maybe some of you are asking this. You've been a believer for 10, 20, 30 years, and now you've been hit with a crisis, be it your relationships, be it with your children, be it with your business, and you're saying, God, I've been faithful to you, but why is this happening to me right now, God? Is this the full life that you promised? It cannot be, because if it is a full life, then who wants to become like me? Who wants to have what I have? The story of this, the IRA, the Irish Republican Army, many years ago, where they were at odds with the police in Northern Ireland. So the story goes like this. So the IRA called the police and said, hey, we've just planted a bomb in a shopping mall. It's one of their tactics, and said, you've got 5 minutes to clear the mall of its people. 5 minutes. So the story goes, one of the IRA guys died, and he was at the pearly gates, and St. Peter came out with a big, huge book and said, tried to look for his name in it, and said, your name is not in this book, because I think you're in the RA, so you're not in here. And the RA guy said, you misunderstand me. In fact, I'm not trying to get in. In fact, you have 5 minutes to get out. And sometimes we live life, I know it's kind of a stretching illustration, but we live life waiting to get into heaven, waiting for that life, that blissful life, without appreciating what life that we actually have in us, with us, through Jesus Christ, right here in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our mess, that becomes a message of our lives to this world by the grace of God. Some of us are in that place, I can't wait to go home. Take me home, Lord. Well, is Delphi going to be a better place? But perhaps some of us need to realize that we can find meaning when we have that life. It's not always perfect. Not everything goes according to how we have planned it to be. We have planned a family trip all the way to Ipoh, and the shop is closed. Dim sum favorite shop is closed. Do you get upset at your husband and wife, or what do? Life is full of disappointments, but that doesn't define the fact that life is still full in the sun. Someone say amen. I was talking about a funeral that I attended, and Pastor Moy Hau, led in the funeral. And I had the opportunity to play and sing in that wake service as well. And this lady from DUMC, our late sister, Sharon, some of you know her. Amazing, amazing stories about her. Right before the wake started, there were a group of nurses that came, about seven of them, and they wrote a note as an eulogy. And this is what they wrote about her. They say that the late Sister Sharon was like a mother to them. Despite her ailment, despite of having her own two legs being amputated, she was there encouraging, giving advice to these nurses. Seven of them. Can you imagine appearing at the wake service? Can you imagine not having your ideals in life with you, your legs are not there. I mean, your emotional strain, the sufferings, the mental torture, what's happening, but yet being able to be an encouragement in faith to the nurses there. We heard also of how she had been visiting people in the wheelchair. Despite her own condition, she was encouraging people around her. What a life lived to the full. And the verse stands out again. John 11, 25, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Are we living? Are we living while we are being alive? Are we living that life to the full? How many of you have social media and you're on social media quite often? Not telling the truth, are you, or something? Now, you know, Instagram, you can actually go to it and say, hey, you can have a certain summary. How many minutes are you on Instagram every day? Right? So recently I checked, right? Confession, huh? 30 minutes. No, I mean, as in, it's on. And what I do is that social media, I mean, I like to learn from what some of the postings are. Right? But the tendency of that is to also compare with the lives of others and wish we had a certain life or lifestyle that causes us to feel that we're not there, that we're living a subpar life. It happens to all of us. Been there? Even in ministry, we can be going through, hey, this pastor is doing this, this church is doing this. Wow, I wish we could, all the conversation in your head, we could. And before you know it, you're living that subpar life that you feel you are in, when actually you have the abundant life. As I said yesterday, it's not just, are we living the abundant life or the abundant life? Some of us go around and think that we're living the abundant life, you know? Or some of us think a lot about YOLO, YOLO, you only live. And some of us, our lives are defined by that acronym more than the word of God. You only live once, so go and do it anyway. It's like Bon Jovi's song, right? It's my, right? It's now or never, right? Just do it. So we have all these statements, taglines, quotes that just drives us to take back our lives from the very creator of life and giver of life. Who is life? Jesus. So we may be believers, churchgoers, we hear, but we take back our lives continuously. And then we take life from others. We become life-taking because we are ourselves living in that world of comparison and discontentment. And today, that's why it's so important to recognize again that indeed, when Jesus said, I have come, and continues to appear and show up even this Christmas in our lives, that he's come to give us life. And not just full stop there, but so that we may have life to the full. Is your need for security, for respect, for significance driving you to do things that, or say things that just disrupts your family in a certain way, or destroys relationships? These are precious lessons of life. These are precious episodes, if I may say, of our lives that the Lord, by His grace, allows us to go through so that we can live out that life, that full life that He has intended us to have, that Zoe life. Because many are alive, but they're dead spiritually. I'm not saying go to the shopping mall and say, hey, you're dead. No, you're not dead. Carrying my baby in my arms, I was just, just saying those words to my little baby. And her name is Jessa, by the way. And Jessa is a safe name. And some of you who came yesterday, I said about the Tan surname, right? If you're going to be careful how you name your child with a surname Tan, because we almost went with Sela. And then we realized that if you go to school and you have your daughter called Sela, it's Selatan. And then the name Maya crossed our minds as well. Maya, it's a nice name. Some of you have your daughter as Maya, but Maitan, you know. So it's like, you thought before, I mean, like, you know, if it was a boy, we even thought of the name Seth, you know. But then we thought, Seth Tan. Bless your hearts. I can say this because I'm a Tan, right? But I'm not, you know. I'm not giving ideas to also, you know, name it that way, tease that way. But just carrying my baby in my arms, Jessa, and her name means God beholds. What does it mean to say to my baby, Jesus says, I have come and so that you might have life. She's alive, but have life and have it to the full. What does it mean to hold a baby in arms and say, have life to the full? Helpless baby, and it's my responsibility to be a part of this journey, to steward well this life that God has given. And I think it's very symbolic of what it means to have Jesus come as life and light to all mankind. Life isn't always perfect, but life in the Son is always a full life. I love Ephesians 3:16 to 21 read in the Message version. Let me just read it to us as I close, draw to a close. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth, test its length, plumb the depths, rise to the heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God. I'll read that again. Live full lives. So you have your imagery is full life means I'm going to be traveling to this part of the world. I'm going to be driving this vehicle. I'm going to have this job, my dream job. Nothing wrong with these things. But what does it mean to have that full lives, full in the fullness of God? And God is enough. Christ is enough. He's everything that we need to have. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. Contemporary language. So good to read that sometimes in a different way. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all millennial. Oh yes, and someone say amen. That's our God. He has come. He has come. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And some of you are experiencing that in your families, in your relationships, in your workplaces. And you're devastated. You're confused. You're uncertain. Your faith is rocky. You need to turn to Jesus today because I've come so that you may have life. You need to be awakened spiritually. You need to have that life, and not just life, but life to the full, beyond what you can ask or think or imagine. Life to the full. What is that? It's not without pain. It's not without the grit and the grime of life. It's not without the ups and downs, the failures. It's not without all that. It's not without emotional turmoil that comes along with your pregnancy or your age or your unfulfilled ideals. Sometimes it's all these things. Life is not perfect. But life is still full in the Son. He who has the Son has life. It's as very clear as that. Who does not have the Son does not have life. So you may be alive today. You may be living today. You may be taking a breath today. But you need this life that is found only in Jesus Christ. Born on Christmas Day, as it were, on a manger, who went through the process, didn't just come out 30 years old, but baby, helpless, humble himself. He understands your pain. He understands your joy. And he loves you. And he is life. In him was life. And that life was light to all mankind, including every person seated here in this auditorium. So as we close, as we bow our heads and close our eyes today, here's the question. Which part of life is currently imperfect for you right now? Surely there's a part that you're struggling with today. Which part of life? Do you wish was different. Bring it to Him. Create an altar where you are. Which part of life you're saying, I want to give up? And some of you are saying, I want to give up on my faith because I can't take it anymore, because it doesn't seem to match up, because I've been disappointed with people in my lives. I felt betrayed. Which part of life is imperfect for you right now? Remember the journey that Joseph and Mary went through. Remember the controversy for Christ to come into this world. Embrace the life offered by Jesus. Embrace Jesus in His beauty, in His fullness, in His glory, in His humility. Second question maybe is this. Which part of life maybe have been pleasant and good for you? Not everything and everybody is going through a tough time. Some of you are really enjoying your life at this age. At this stage, give thanks to God for that tree. Give thanks to God for that season of your life you're in. That too is a full life. But so are our ups and downs. It's also a full life in the sun. So as you ponder, as you think about these things, bring them to Jesus with a grateful heart and say, God, thank you for life. And life to the full. But some of you really need to bring that to the altar. You need to bring that disappointment, that imperfection. Maybe you are disappointed with your own self. You can't forgive yourself for allowing yourself to make a certain bad decision in life. And maybe you can't let go till now. But can I ask that today you let God in, because He has come. Christmas reminds us of that. Away in the manger. It's not just a sweet song. It's a sacred Christmas that we want to be so aware about this Christmas. Let it be your best one yet because of Jesus. Not just because of the sweet carols, the performances, although that really does help us remember. But let this be your best Christmas yet because you've allowed Jesus to enter and you have embraced the life that He alone can give to you. To all generations. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, let me make this call. Anyone want to pray for people after this? We're going to open up the altar as you ponder about some of the things you need to bring to the Lord. And it takes courage, it takes faith. But I want to just ask today if there's anyone here, you have lived your life for yourselves. You know that. I mean, you have not given your heart to Jesus. And maybe you have been contented in life. You've been saying, hey, I've done pretty well. But today you've heard a different story, a different economy, as it were, how God, King of Glory, humbled Himself in all humility to be a man of no reputation, to be born in a manger. Not the cleanest place. What kind of God is this? What kind of life is this? And then you're reminded, hey, your life isn't that full after all, if it's full of ourselves. Today you need Jesus. If you are that person, heads bowed and eyes closed, this Christmas, would you give your heart to Jesus? I'm just going to count to three, and if you're that person, maybe you have not been to church in a long time, you have so-called, quote-unquote, left or lost your belief, or you've gone a different path, but today you want to come home to life because He has come. At the count of three, would you lift your hands up and put it down, even in the gallery? One, two, three. Just put your hands up and slip it down. I want to pray for you across this auditorium. Is there anyone you're saying, I want to believe in this Jesus? Anyone in this place? So lift your hands up and put it down. I take that most of us, if not all of us here, are believers. But if you are seeking, you're searching, you're thinking, you're wrestling, talk to one of us after the celebration today. Don't rush off. Precious moment, precious Christmas for you. We want to talk to you. We want to hear you. We want to, you know, just get to know you. If you are searching, you are seeking, Jesus loves you. Church, would you stand to your feet right now? And here's where we want to, how we want to end. Different ones of us here, we may need prayer. We may need healing. We may need to respond today to that life. A God is life-giving. And so we're going to sing a song once, and after which we're going to open the altar for different ones to come and just lay your lives down. Let's say, well, to the Lord again and say, God, here's my imperfection. Here's what I've struggled with all these years. I've not been able to let go, but help me, Lord Jesus, because you are life and you give life to the full. Okay. Let's worship.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you. Sing, you give life. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
Before we sing it again, church, this is your time to make an altar, to respond. I'm going to open up the altar right now to invite pastors and leaders to pray for different ones. If you're here with a need and you need a touch from the Lord today, let this be the day that you resolve in your hearts that you need life and you need to live it to the full in Christ. So the altar is open. Come forward, respond. Something that you have been dealing with, maybe a hurt, maybe a healing. The altar is open as we sing the song again. Come forward and respond to Jesus today.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you.
That there's someone here today, you have a strained relationship with your son, almost imagining a rope almost snapping. It's that close to snapping, that relationship. And you are here and saying, there's got to be more, right? It cannot be that I cannot save this relationship with my son. If you're the person, God loves you, He cares for you, and He wants to restore and breathe life into that relationship. There's some things that you need to be doing, but you need to respond. If you're that person, come forward, be prayed with, be prayed for. Amen. Come on, just sing on, and we're going to continue to be in this attitude of prayer, right? Praying for those in front. If you need to respond, come forward. The altar's you open.
We'll shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great.
Here, struggling in your marriage, maybe your spouse not here, the Lord is here to breathe life as well, to give life, to restore what the locust has eaten, what has been broken. So if you're here, He loves you. Maybe it's been tough in your marriage, maybe it's been tough in your conversations. It's hard to see eye to eye, it's hard to have conversations, even as husband and wife. But today, I believe that the Lord wants to touch your relationship, remind you of what it means to love one another, remind you of what it means to have that life to the full. And maybe some of you are regretting some things in life, and maybe it's gone the way, but it's too hard in human understanding to save it. But He wants to assure you and affirm you that in spite and despite what's happening, He is life, and you have it to the full. Don't live in regret. Don't live bound by the past, but be set free from your past. So as we sing one more time, if you are struggling with that, get prayer, get help. Amen.
You give life. You are loved, You bring light to the darkness.
You give hope,
you restore every heart that is broken.
Pour out our praise, your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only, your breath in our lungs. as we draw towards a close this morning, this precious morning. Father, we're grateful to you for all that you've done in and through our lives, our past, our present, and our future in your hands. Today, we thank you for that life that you have given to us. And you are life, and you have given us life to the full. Thank you so much for the abundant life that we have in you. That through every trial, every season, every testing, every grit, every grime, every situation, every circumstance in life, God, we have still you, and we have the abundant life. Lord, I pray that each of us here, although it may be a crowd, but you see the individual in the midst of a crowd, that God, you take what we have, our pain, our successes, our conversations in our hearts and our minds that no one seems to understand, we take it all and allow us to be free in you, because God, indeed, we have life in you. So thank you for the youngest person here in this auditorium, to the oldest ones that you love, you died for, you gave your all for us. May we live for you in that abundant life that we have in you. So the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord cause His face to be to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Lord, we thank you for what's ahead. Thank you for the peace that you have for us that surpasses understanding, that will guard both our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. All this we ask in Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen. Give the Lord a praise.